Yeah, I'm registered in this class.
What class?
This is U.S. history. See the globe right there?
Really?
Hey, may I come in?
Oh, please. I get so lonely when I hear that third attendance bell ring and all my kids are not here.
Welcome. This is episode 3 of the AirRaid.net podcast, where we drop bombs of awesome into your ear holes. I'm your host, Aaron Roden. Thanks for downloading the show. You have a very nice iPod. We have a very, very special show for you guys today. I hope you enjoy it. We have Chaz Roberts is here at Roden Studios. He's joining us today. And remember, you can download this show every Sunday at air-raid.net. You can also follow us on Twitter, and we also have a Facebook page that you can come and check out. So I hope you guys check all that stuff out. Man, this show has really taught me that I do not know much of anything about audio engineering, because I have literally fucked up everything on the past couple shows. And so I apologize for all the, little discrepancies in sound and volume levels and everything like that. But I am getting everything kind of figured out here. So with that said, I hope you're still listening. Shit, I probably just like made everybody stop listening by saying that. So, okay, well, we do have a great show for you today. Chaz and I are sitting here. We've actually drinking vodka crans,
otherwise known as a Cape Cod.
A Cape Cod? Is that what this is called?
Well, I believe the Cape Cod, what distinguishes that from a vodka cran, is the squeeze of lime and a splash of tonic.
Oh, shit. I have both of those.
Oh, you see, we could have classed it up.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe but I can... Maybe. Right. Maybe I should just put this show on pause and we can...
No, we ain't bougie.
We'll do it later at the musical break.
Round two.
Yeah, yeah. So, like I said before, we have a great show planned for you. We've got a new semi-irregular segment to share with all of you. It's our new, the AirRaid.net new Canadian correspondent, Paige Sandylands, is going to be here with her view from Canada on a very just kind of weird news story that I found. You're going to stop and just say, what the fuck, when you hear it. So, got a couple news stories. Also, Chaz is going to talk with us about Seattle Semi-Pro Wrestling and the last show of Get Loaded.
Get Loaded, yeah.
You guys put on at...
Wrapped it up.
Last Friday night. Right. And that was it's all held at a local bar here in... Oh, God. See, I fucked it up again.
That was sloppy. What an awful transition.
So these were shows all at the Rebar here in beautiful Seattle. By the way, we have had some serious, serious crap weather going on here.
It all changes today, though.
Right. It is a beautiful day. The sun is shining. There's...
Mountains are naked.
Yeah, the mountains are naked. And there's still quite a bit of snow up there, actually.
There is. Well, I hear that as we get higher up in altitude, it gets colder. I don't know if this is true.
Science guy.
Science.
Yeah, but today is a beautiful day. It's an awesome Saturday. It's nice and warm outside. There's a little bit of a breeze and just blue skies as far as the eye can see. So here we go. Let's get started with this first news story here. So I'll read you the headline here, Chaz. Wisconsin man gets probation in dirty diaper theft. This is off of MSNBC.com from the Associated Press. So Stevens Point, Wisconsin, an Amherst man accused of trying to steal dirty diapers from a home has been sentenced to 30 months of probation. 30 months.
Well,
that's a long time.
I kind of want to know exactly how is stealing someone's refuse and personal excrement actually a crime. Like, it doesn't seem like it's that wrong.
So, okay. Well, check this out.
Okay.
Check this out. So I think this is where it gets, you know, not only disgusting, but is illegal.
Okay.
Okay. And so this guy's name is Dylan Makuski. He is 20 years old. Let's see, convicted of possession of burglary tools, which, you know, okay, whatever. So Makuski was detained by the homeowner after entering an Amherst home last September. And the county sheriff there in Portage County found 6 dirty diapers in Makuski's pockets.
In his pockets.
In his fucking pockets. this is okay. And it gets better. It gets better here. Okay. So the complaint said that Makuski entered the house because he likes to wear diapers and thought that there might be some in the house. So first of all, here, let's take a break here for a second.
Does he like to wear the clean ones or does he like to wear the dirty ones?
Hey, man, he stole dirty diapers.
Okay.
So I have no idea. So, but, you know, this guy is nuts because you could just go and buy some, right?
Right.
You don't have to break into a
house. Well, you know, Aaron, what with the war and all? A lot of
everybody's,
people don't have money, so,
right.
You know.
Everybody's
all,
hurting.
We all have to do our part for the war effort. So we got to try and reduce, reuse, and recycle.
And recycle,
any
yeah.
way we can.
Maybe he is, not only is he in, you know, economic troubles, but he is also trying to save the planet by recycling.
This man's
dirty
a
diapers.
Patriot. He was arrested for acts of patriotism. Look, also quick, I just want to point out, do you see how tall this dude is? He's like 6'2".
Yeah.
The man is a giant.
Yeah, I'm going to post the picture up on the website at air-raid.net. And you all out there, all you listeners, all, what, 3 of you? Me, Chaz, and my wife.
For now.
We can all look at this this picture on the website.
Because
this guy... I don't know. He looks almost like Neanderthal-like a little bit.
He does have some Cro-Magnon aspects.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got the chin beard going on really well. Like super thick down below, but nothing real up top.
You know, at the same time, he kind of looks like he could be in some sort of alt-country band
that plays at the tractor all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes at the Connor Burn.
Right. Oh, opening up for Brent Amaker in the rodeo.
So check this out, Chaz. This is the best. This is, I think, one of the greatest quotes that I've heard in a while. So according to the complaint, when asked whether he intended, this is referring to Dylan Makuski, age 20. When asked whether he intended to steal dirty diapers, Makuski simply said, you ready for this?
Ready.
Yes.
Yes. He said yes. Yes.
Said yes. So he loves him some dirty fucking diapers, man. That is some weird stuff. I, you know.
Okay. So I just want to clarify this. So the crime was actually stealing the diapers. It wasn't charged with breaking and entering. He was charged with stealing dirty diapers and being in possession of burglary items.
Well, it says he was convicted of possession of burglary tools.
Okay.
So I'm not sure, like, I mean, you'd think that because he broke into some dude's house, like, that would be, you know, that would be enough to get you 30 months of probation or probably, you know, probably a couple days in jail anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but... Yeah, burglary tools. So maybe he had like a screwdriver.
Well, you know, that's really kind of like maybe he's an engineer.
Maybe he's an
engineer.
With
a precision set of tools.
Maybe he's a locksmith.
A locksmith apprentice. Because, you know, you can't be an actual locksmith until you're 25.
What? Are you serious?
No, I'm just talking smack.
Okay.
But maybe he's a roadie.
He could be a roadie.
And
he looks
needs
like
those
one.
Precision yeah. tools for working on amplifiers.
It sounds like he might. If this guy's a roadie, he's definitely a roadie for like Nickelback.
He does look like he likes to hang out with Nickelback and Luke Burbank.
So Chaz was telling me earlier that that he was on the TBTL show before it became a podcast at at a local radio station here, and just to mess with the host, Luke Burbank, who I'm sure if you're listening to this show, you probably know who Luke Burbank is. Just to mess with him. What did you do again?
I had had one of my cohorts in the Get Loaded world do a little research on him before I dove right into said interview. And Luke Burbank had this great quote that was I don't trust people who say that they like every kind of music because that's allotting for Nickelback.
Right.
You know, which kind of implies that he hates them. So I tried to spend as much, if not all, of the interview talking about how awesome Nickelback was. I don't know if he appreciated it or not. We didn't have too much dialogue post-interview, but...
Like he just sent you on your merry way.
Yeah,
huh?
He's like, Nickelback and you're gone. Thank you, sir.
I'm a joke maker.
So I finally figured out how to do all these like sound drops on this program that I'm using, and I'm super stoked.
It is a little exciting.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you can also add those in post.
Oh yeah, I know.
I think it's more fun to do them live, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, so everybody can hear them, and then you can talk about it like we're doing right now, which makes for awesome fake radio, by the way.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. It feels live.
It doesn't it.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It has that sheen, that glimmer of something new.
That's
something
right.
Something fresh.
I feel like I'm getting on the ground floor here of, a new wave of entertainment,
right.
Media entertainment, right?
Right. So you're are you actually a big podcast aficionado?
I do. I enjoy me some podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any in particular?
Well, I love Luke Burbank's podcast,
yeah.
And his engineer Sean DeTore also does a podcast called The Mixtape, which I really enjoy. Also, from that, found out about The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick.
I'm not familiar with this.
You know who Chris Hardwick is?
No.
The ex, or I shouldn't say ex, but he used to host the show Singled Out. On MTV.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like his spunky attitude.
Yeah, yeah. He's got that same attitude. Moxie. He does. He's got a lot of moxie. Moxie spills out of his nose holes.
And you can tell he had so much moxie because he was able to keep up with Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, she was nuts.
She was a crazy bitch.
She was crazy, yeah.
How about how much that show went on to blow once Carmen Electra came?
You know, I don't think I think I stopped watching it at that point.
I can understand.
Yeah.
It got bad.
Yeah. So, okay. So, let's get back to this guy. We kind of went on a little tangent there, but let's get back to this guy. What's his name again? Dylan Mikuski?
Dylan Mikuski.
Or Yeah, I got it right.
Well
yeah,
done. You weren't even looking at the notes.
This is episode 3, man. I'm a fucking pro at this.
You are a seasoned veteran. Grizzled.
I think I'm going to get a tattoo.
You should.
Yeah. So this reading this story, this made me think of like all the weird fetishes out there, right?
Right.
So, okay, apparently there's people that like to wear other people's dirty diapers. That's okay. That's pretty gross. That's terrible.
Or at least there's one.
Right. There's dudes out there, especially here in Washington, that like to go to farms and try to molest like chickens and horses and that kind of stuff. Then there's these people that dress up in the big like animal costumes.
Furries. Yeah, did
what is that all about?
Well, you know, it kind of makes sense. It harkens back to a simpler time in one's life. You know,
simpler time in one's life.
Where they got molested by a mascot or something. Maybe. I don't know.
They're raped by the Seahawk seagull or whatever it
maybe,
is.
Maybe. Or that moose. What's the moose's name?
Oh, God. The Mariner moose.
Yeah. Well, what's messed up about that? You know how every kind of scene has that bad apple that's gonna ruin it for everyone else. And like furryism, you know, you know, it actually seems like cute and fun. You know, hey, let's dress up as, you know, cartoon characters and mascots in these big furry outfits and play in an adult manner.
How does that work though? Because like, I mean, they're wearing the suits, obviously. I mean, right. Do they take the body of the suit? Like, I'm asking you, like, you're an expert in this.
I know.
Which apparently you are. Exciting. You are now a scientist and a psychosexual analyst.
It's true. I do have that degree I got online.
You are an amazing man.
Hey.
Yes. Yeah, jack of all trades.
Master of none.
That's great. Okay, so furries. So do they take like the suit part off and then do their business? Or do they actually do they cut holes in the suits?
Okay. That's actually a really interesting question. Do you want the full answer or do you want a short answer?
Why not?
All right. So let me lay it down, and like this is kind of going to blow your mind.
My mind is already blown, dude.
I did a lot of research on this because that whole concept of exactly how do they do it was really amazing to me. And so
you're being serious now.
And look, this is the way it's done. I don't know. I have no idea. I built that up well.
Huh? Yeah, you did. You did. You're very good at this.
Oh, thanks.
You're very good at this.
But look, I was talking to my friend Brian Cook, who does this really amazing show. This show called Another Episode with Brian Cook.
He used to be in Roy.
Really?
Yeah, he was and he's in These Arms Are Snakes now, right?
No, I think there might be another Brian Cook then.
Okay.
This is the Brian Cook who has the world's greatest job as the PBR marketing rep.
Oh, wow.
Which is a great job. He gets paid to go to bars and drink
and
purchase rounds of PAPs for the entire bar.
For people.
And it's an amazing job, right?
Right.
You know, they have all these great like team building exercises where they go to, you know, the Brew Fest in Milwaukee. And just get plowed for a week on PBR's dime. Great. But look, Brian was telling me the story about this furry, I don't know, like on the East Side or in Yelm or some shit like that.
Okay.
Who, thanks to the internet, was able to assemble this like kind of furry group, this like elite cadre of furry aficionados or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And they were all going to meet up for some sweet furry action, kind of like a furry circle jerk or something like that. Anyway, so he gets everyone set up, lined up. Noon on Saturday, it's going to be like the furry blow out of the century. Bring your, you know, best costume and prepare to fur up. His compatriots. It's great. His compatriots show up on time. They're all like ready. Dude's front door was unlocked. They walk in. Dude's in the kitchen fucking his dogs, like penis in the ass of his dog. And
what?
You know, just like, what's up, dudes? Furry time, yeah. And there's like, no, we like to pretend that we are dogs, and you are fucking a dog. So this is what I'm saying. There's always those bad apples that spoil any sort of like fetish or any sort of scene. This guy ruined a bad name.
This guy ruined it.
So I will not drink to that guy, but I will drink to the hopes that the furry community can bounce back from this catastrophe.
Oh my God, of epic proportions.
Epic proportions.
So I kind of look at this stuff. I was thinking earlier, I was like, This is obviously nature's way, like these weird, weird fetishes. Obviously nature's way of saying, don't bed down with this person. You know, like this is somebody you definitely want to stay away from. Like it's, you know, natural population control, because who wants to have a kid with a guy who's into dirty diapers, right?
True.
Or even, I mean, even copulate with somebody who's into, like, hey, I'm wearing somebody else's feces wrapped around my waist.
I would go even further and say, who wants to ride the bus with a guy wearing dirty diapers? See, well,
this guy,
look.
He's ruined. He's got his picture in the paper. Yeah. I mean, you know, Amherst sounds like it must be kind of a small town, or Stevens Point, Wisconsin, wherever.
Stevens Point, Wisconsin sounds tiny.
It sounds really small. And this guy, I mean, I kind of feel bad for him a little bit. I mean, a fetish is a fetish. You can't control what you're into most times, right? Like, I don't know where this guy got this fetish, where this kind of entered his life, but holy crap, dude, he is in for a lot of shit.
Yeah, I think
no pun intended.
he wishes he was in for a lot of shit. Aaron, this is what I really wonder: how much of this is, like, you know, dude born with weird thing, or, like, you know, based on, you know, that like childhood trauma, sort of like first sexual experience thing,
right?
Or how much of it is, like, pushing the boundaries, like, thanks to the internet and the immediate accessibility of the more and more extreme situations, or the more and more extreme fetishes, or whatever.
Right.
It's kind of frustrating, because one has got to wonder, like, okay, so this openness and the sex positive sort of renaissance that we're getting into here.
Right. Yeah.
Where does the line get drawn? Like, how, example, I have a couple friends who get off on rape porn.
Oh.
They really love a good rape scene. And
they would never do it themselves, but they look at these pictures of, like, staged acts and stuff like that. Let's just clarify that.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course. And it's all, you know, 2257'd out, and, like, it's made sure that's all done via consent, adults,
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah.
But what happens, you know, like, a year, 2 years down the line, when maybe not them, but another aficionado of this genre,
Takes it one step
further.
Right,
Yeah. It's like, oh, you know what? I can't. This isn't doing it for me anymore. I need more.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I need something bigger. And is there a point where it kind of starts to ruin our actual personal relations, not even just the sexual variety, but, you know, our actual interpersonal
Or does it degrade? Does it basically start degrading society?
Right.
You know, well, that's a shit is getting real here on episode number 3.
It's getting a little
super serious. So, okay. So, I mean, you're making great points here, because, I mean, you can bring this all the way back around to, you know, the moral Christian authority, you know, that we have in the United States, about people worried about, you know, the degradation of society, the degradation of our, you know, humanity, really.
Yeah.
You know, with all this stuff that's accessible now on the internet. I mean, we got 13-year-olds texting pictures of their vajayjays to
That's not texting, baby. That's sexting.
That's sexting. That is definitely sexting. I mean, stuff like that, man, I do not get that stuff. I don't understand why a young girl would feel like she needs to, you know, send a picture out to, you know, her friends of, like, you know, of her vagina and stuff.
It means your mother's vagina.
Way to lighten that point.
Thank you, Natalie Portman.
Thank you very much, Natalie Portman. Well, you know, at the same time, I mean, I remember when I was like 14 or 15, and I had some of my first girlfriends, and you know, they would slip me kind of like racy photos of them, you know, maybe in like a note they dropped in my locker at school, or like, you know, kind of like dirty notes.
Right, right.
You know, I know of one time at least that I got suspended because one of the administrators found a note. So I mean, it isn't even. I think it's just kids making use of what they have.
Right, right. Like if we had the same technology back, you know, and that's kind of what I've told my grandparents before. If like, hey, if you had the same stuff. If you had access to the same stuff back when you were my age, like, you'd be doing the same shit.
Oh, and you know that they were, like, grabbing the handset for the phone, cranking it up. It's like, person-to-person call to Natalie, please. Yeah. And, you know, like, getting her on the phone. And it's like, oh, Natalie, just wait until I pull those pantaloons down. Oh, the bee's knees.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is the bee's knees. That is definitely the bee's knees. Yeah, it's a...
Or drawn photos on a cave wall.
Right.
You know. Dude, they did it too. Yeah.
Big knockers on... Like,
do you find as...
floaters.
All right, so here's a question while we're still on the topic of naughtiness and whatnot. Do you find as you get older your tastes change? As far as like a lady you see on the street, like what you look at, as far you know,
right, even you know, even like, to like what I consider like being beautiful,
right,
or sexy, or
right,
or
right,
hot, whatever,
like
whatever word you want to use,
parts, attractive,
right. Oh yeah, definitely. As I've gotten older, yeah, for sure.
What's an example?
You're trying to pull this out of me right now.
I want to hear it. This is interesting. This is
Chaz.
This
is
beyond.
This
is
my show, man. This is my show.
You dropped that ownership the minute you invited me on.
Okay, part owner. yeah, maybe I'll just call you the investor.
Yeah. I'm the investor.
No, totally. I mean, yeah, you know, it's not. I can look. You know, when I was younger, you know, you look at movie stars and stuff. Like, let's take Pam Anderson, for example.
Right.
You know, something that, you know, when you're 13 watching Baywatch, that is, like, the hottest thing ever.
She was way hot.
She was way hot. And I still think she's, you know, she's pretty. But I'm not into that look anymore.
Right.
You know, the big chest, big fake chest, I should specify. Big fake chest, you know, just flowing blonde locks, you know, big lips. You know, I think we've gone way overboard with that stuff. Like, I'm not really into that anymore. I used to think Meg Ryan was like super, super hot.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why, man. I always had this like this thing for Meg Ryan, and now she's just—I mean, she just looks ungodly now. Have you seen her lately?
No.
Holy shit! She got you know the Botox things
really?
In her lips and stuff, and it just looks so bad.
Did you also have a crush on your aunt?
On my aunt?
Because she totally looks like she's somebody's aunt, and I could see you know
Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's dead. She's probably somebody's aunt.
She
must be.
You don't look like that without being somebody's aunt.
Yeah.
Quick. No.
The fuck is that supposed to mean?
You know what I mean, Roden. You know what I mean. Quick, I would also like to say not all aunts are homely, just the ones that look like Meg Ryan or Dita Von Teese.
Dita
Von Teese totally looks like somebody's aunt.
I don't think I know who that
is.
Who is Dita Von Teese?
And normal. She is the burlesque chick that like that gets all the credit for reinventing the genre.
Oh, okay, okay.
I think like maybe she deserves it. I don't know, but
maybe she deserves it.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think she's that great. I think there's many more kittens and sinners and sweethearts that are much more deserving of some sort of burlesque monarchy.
Yeah, yeah. The burlesque Oscar.
The burlesque Oscar. Yeah, yeah. Or as we call it, the burlosker.
The burlosker. So in more news, let's move on here. In more news, I have a huge story. This made all the headlines. New York Times. It was on the front page of New York Times. It was on the cover of Newsweek recently. The big news story is about me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Huge news. I have discovered, a newfound hatred for Will and Jada Pinkett Smith's children.
Well, especially motherfucking Jaden.
Yeah, that's okay. That's who I'm referring to. Okay, so you've seen the previews for this new movie that came out yesterday. I'm pretty sure it was yesterday.
Karate Kid.
Mm. Back in the limelight. Mm. With Jackie Chan.
All right. First, let's start this with Jackie Chan. Actually, looks like a pretty sweet Miyagi, right?
Looks great.
Yeah,
looks great.
You know, he's got that accent down.
He definitely doesn't have the practice.
Not at all. But all right, now if we're really going to talk about Jaden, we have to take it back to Pursuit of Happiness first,
right?
Because maybe it was just me, but watching Will Smith in the scenes that he was with Jaden, he just looks like it's the 127th take, and he's about to choke this fucking kid because he keeps blowing his lines. And you know those tears weren't actually tears of, like, I'm a great actor. I'm showing my emotional range.
Right.
No, it's, we finally got this fucking scene. Jaden, tears of joy.
It was actually tears of joy. He was super happy.
And then Jaden didn't get an allowance for the rest of the week because he was a fucking punk.
Okay. I actually liked Pursuit of Happiness. I thought it was pretty good. And I actually had, after I saw that movie, I had a lot of respect for the kid because I thought he did a pretty good job.
Was it then?
Well, okay. I'm getting to that. Sometimes I get home early, and I catch Oprah sometimes. And so the whole Smith family was on Oprah. Yeah, that's right. I fucking watch Oprah sometimes. Deal with it. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the listeners out there that are going, this guy listens to Oprah. Anyway. They had the whole Smith family was on Oprah and talking about Jaden's new movie coming out. And he just seemed like the cockiest little son of a bitch.
Of course he is. He's a Smith.
Right. Well, on the other hand, though, Jada and Will, it's Jada Pinkett Smith.
Jada Pinkett Smith, yeah.
They seem like they could quite possibly be, like, the nicest people on the planet. But I think, you know, where they're at now, they, like, you know, they want their kids to have everything that they didn't when they were growing up or something. You know, what every parent really wants for their children.
I don't know. Will kind of had a lot growing up.
That's like, true. He kind of hit it big, the Fresh Prince. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. But, I mean, you know, they seem like they could just be just darling.
Yeah.
You know? But, man, have they got to rein this shit in totally with the kids, dude. Because, like, this is why people hate our country. Like, kids like this. I think, anyway. It's one reason, you know. Like, I mean, just thinking that the world owes them, you know, all the love and glory that that they can get, you know. And you know, this might be because I'm super jealous that this, 9-year-old, 10-year-old has, like, more money than I or my kids or my grandchildren.
He has enough money to be above the law.
That's true. That's true. So, Yeah, this, I mean, this movie just looks total shit. I mean,
well, see,
not saying that the first Karate Kid was any good, but.
No, it wasn't. But it was another part of, you know, our childhood.
Right,
those fond memories.
Totally.
Man, going back and watching Karate Kid 2, that was a piece of shit.
Karate Kid 2?
2, yeah, the one where they went to Japan.
They went to Japan,
and
yeah.
It was, the fight of honor.
Do you remember the little, like, they had the shaker drums?
Yes.
With the little, like, beads on it and
yes.
Shit? I remember wanting one of those so bad. And then we went to, as a family vacation, we went to Hawaii 1 year.
Yeah.
Right after a big hurricane, so it was super cheap.
Uh-huh.
And
it was super cheap to go there?
It was super cheap to go there because a hurricane just hit. And yeah, I got one of those little drums, you know, with the little beads on it that would knock that.
How long did the interest last?
Oh, forever.
Really?
Like, I still have it.
Really?
Yeah, it's at my parents' house.
I was about to say, like, that might have to be a part two thing.
Right.
You know, maybe we could write a sweet song with those.
Episode 3B. Yeah, yeah.
All right, quick. Jaden, still.
Yeah.
Before we move on. So like that's actually kind of a Hollywood kid thing, like that like sense of entitlement.
Right. Cockiness. Oh, it totally is. It totally.
Look
is.
At look at the way Robert Downey Jr. was for years before he finally had to do all the rehab and the like. Maturing that he eventually had to do.
Right.
I mean, the kid was a punk. Drew Barrymore.
Oh.
You know, everyone thought that she was super sweet. The
Firestarter.
Meanwhile, she's 13 and giving head for a blow, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of the way. So, I mean, maybe once he has like some actual trauma, some sort of crisis in his life, he'll morph into an actual quality person.
Another child actor that I just thought of, the kid from Baywatch. You remember him?
No.
Did you ever watch Baywatch?
I didn't actually.
There was this young kid. He was supposed to be. David Hasselhoff's son in the show, and he, let's see.
I suggest you keep your ample derriere off my hood.
Oh, that was Knight Rider, not Baywatch. yeah, that was Knight Rider.
I suggest you keep your ample derriere off my hood.
Nice.
David Hasselhoff did have a very nice derriere.
Did you actually go through and capture all these, or did you download them from
downloaded them? Found a great website,
soundbitesrs.info.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
I can't remember what the website is, but it's awesome. They have everything, it's a wonderful website.
Okay, so the
Baywatch this kid, right? The Baywatch kid, I think his name in the show was like Hobie or something like that,
uh-huh.
You know, and he grew up like. Being all around all these like hot chicks and stuff, and then he got addicted to meth. Like,
nice.
Man, wow.
Did he told get like meth mouth?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know if he had meth mouth, but he definitely had the like the scars on his face, like the you know the meth pimples.
Oh, meth is so disgusting.
I know. What a terrible drug. You know, if you're rich and famous, just get addicted. Just get addicted to like
Halcyon.
Yeah, or masturbation. Like,
Ambien.
Like David Duchovny or something. Or Ambien, yeah. Just get addicted to, like, some pain pills, okay? Just stay away from the meth. Can we do that?
Is Ambien actually a pain pill? Isn't it like a sleep?
It was a narcotic, I think, before it became... They made it non-narcotic.
Have you ever been around someone who has, recently taken some?
Oh, yeah.
They are ridiculously awesome. It's like they just got slipped some roofies.
Yeah, it's a that's a strange drug, man. That
roofies
is a really strange
Ambien.
Drug. Ambien,
yeah,
Ambien. That's some weird shit.
Yeah.
So
technology.
Oh yeah, man.
Science.
Yeah. And you know that your grandma would be taking Ambien.
Shit, yeah, she would have.
If she had Ambien back then.
My grandmother was a party lady. She was fun.
Valium?
I don't know. I know that she had like the full bar set up in her house, which I thought was amazing, which was how I became like completely enthralled by the Galliano's bottle. Like still to this day, I think it's the coolest bottle of booze around.
Uh-huh.
But she used to tell me these stories about going to see Jimmy Durante perform, and like Jimmy Durante. I don't know if you knew of this, but he would actually light his piano on fire and shit.
Oh, like, right. Like yeah, would, no, I've heard about that. Yeah.
Down, but she, my grandmother apparently knew him and like uh-huh. Like had like all these great tales from that era.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
It was in the blood, I guess.
Yeah. I've been thinking about doing a podcast with my grandparents, my father's parents.
Oh, sweet.
Which I think would just be really cool, just kind of hearing, you know, about their life, you know, living through the Depression. Mm-hmm. My grandfather used to own a couple pulp mills over in Chicago, and they burnt down, and
oh, wow.
You know, a lot of just crazy stories, yeah. You know, and so now my grandfather actually has Alzheimer's, and he's starting to lose his memory, his short term memory, but his long term memory is damn near flawless.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he corrects my grandma all the time on these stories. So I think that would be really cool, just kind of getting them on here and doing
a show.
Yeah. So I think we're going to go to a musical break.
Okay.
And we're going to play a great song here that I know everybody enjoys. It's called H to the Izzo off the Blueprint by Mr. J. Motherfucking Z.
Whoop, whoop.
We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the eighth wonder of the world. The flow of the century. Oh, it's timeless. Ho! Thanks for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me. I appreciate that. H to the Izzo, V to the Izze. For shizzle, my nizzle used to dribble down in VA. Was herbing them in the home of the Turpins. Got it dirt cheap for them. Plus, if they were short with cheese, I would work with them. More than we got rid of that dirt for them. Wasn't born hustlers, I was birthing them. H to the Izzo, V to the Izze. For cheesy, my kneesy, keep my arms so breezy. Can't leave rap alone, the game needs me. Haters want me clap the chrome, it ain't easy. Cops wanna knock me, DA wanna box me in, but somehow I beat them charges like Rocky. H to the Izzo, V to the Izze. Not guilty, he who does not feel me is not real to me, therefore he doesn't exist. So poof, vamoose, son of a bitch. H to the Izzo, B to the Izze. For shizzle, my nizzle used to dribble down in VA. H to the Izzo, B to the Izze. That's the anthem, get your damn hands up. H to the Izzo, B to the Izze. Not guilty, y'all got to feel me. H to the Izzo, B to the Izze. That's the anthem, get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture, to let them know what a nigga look like when a nigga in a roaster. Show them how to move in a room full of vultures. Industry shady, you need to be taken over. Label owners hate me, I'm raising the status quo up. I'm overcharging niggas for what they did to the Cold Crush. Pay us like you owe us for all the years that you hold us. We can talk, but money.
All right, welcome back to episode 3 of the Air Raid Podcast. Chaz? You having a good time? I guess I have to turn your mic
why
on.
Why to the Izzes?
Yeah, dude. I love that song.
It's a good show.
I absolutely love that song. So we had to take kind of a little bit of a longer break than normal because lady that lives down the street couldn't figure out how to turn her frickin' car alarm off, which was awesome.
I thought she was panicking.
Hit the button.
Panic.
I got diarrhea.
Panic.
Panic. Yeah, the panic button is great. Anytime you're in some sort of distress, you can just hit that and things will be fine.
It seems like it would make for a good trick, too.
Right.
You know what my favorite traffic trick is?
What's that?
When I am a passenger in someone's car, and when we're at a stoplight, I distract them and I slip the car into neutral. I love doing that.
You love doing that to
I
people.
I love
doing that. Isn't that kind of a little bit dangerous?
Who
well,
cares?
No, I mean, they're stopped at a stoplight, right?
You know, if it
so
weren't dangerous,
so when they try to
it
go,
it's
just like
right.
they don't.
You know,
you
foot,
don't
you know, break,
yeah.
it's fine.
Yeah. What the hell's going on?
Oh, excuse me, my car's broken. I fooled you.
Ah, you're an idiot. So you just introduced something new to me, and apparently you're really into this stuff. Mm-hmm. You call it red beer.
Red beer.
We just cracked a couple beers open and put some V8 in it, and man, I got to say, this is really good.
It is great. You might even like it more with like a super light beer, like a Pabst Blue Ribbon. Or
yeah, we got a little bit of a darker beer here.
Dos Equis.
But, excuse me. I don't know if
you it will make you a little gassy. It probably wasn't the best choice
for a radio show.
For a radio show, for a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I guess I can't really call it a radio show. It's more like fake radio. But yeah, I hate saying that because there are a lot of other podcasts where like hosts, you know, say fake radio. So I don't want to like copy them. But I mean, you know, what else is there to say? Not real radio. Just doesn't
rocking the airwaves.
Airwaves. Yeah, yeah.
Hitting 2 megabytes of audio power.
Of audio fury.
Audio fury.
Yeah. What do you think about my new tag my tagline for the podcast here?
Dropping bombs
of awesome into your ear holes.
I like it. If you want, I can record that with my movie voice. Which dropping bombs of awesome into your ear hole.
That is great. That's great. We're gonna have to do a couple of those. What do you call them? Audio drops. I try to speak the lingo now. You know, I figure you know I'm a seasoned veteran, as you know you well know.
Right.
You know,
grizzled.
Very grizzled.
Grizzled.
Very grizzled. You know, so I'm trying to use the lingo.
Right.
I'm trying to get the lingo down, being a, you know, to make myself sound professional.
You should get a copy of Podcasting for Dummies.
Right next to Microsoft
I hear it's
for Dummies.
I hear it's got a great glossary of terms in the back.
Sound drop. Yeah. Okay, so you showed up today.
Yeah.
And you brought me this amazing little treat. I'd like to hear more about.
Well,
I don't know much about these things,
Aaron.
Being
a fat man, I'm all about culinary delights. Much like you know, I turned you on to the red beer.
Right, right.
This treat that you're opening now is by a Philadelphia, Pennsylvania based company called Tasty Cake.
Oh, man.
And that's cake with a K.
Right.
For those of you listening, not in the no. Oh no, I have 4 more packs.
You have 4 more packages in your bag.
This is basically like growing up in you know junior high and middle school. And stuff.
Oh my god,
this was kind of what we would eat in lieu of lunch, or like breakfast. This was you know we still had Twinkies and all that.
Right. This is much different than a Twinkie though. This
yes,
is like
It's like moister and spongier, and that butterscotch just melts in your mouth, that like frosting.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Dude,
mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay, yes. So you actually bought a case of these.
I bought 2 cases.
Well, one on accident. Right.
The first one, there was like an error when I was putting my card in,
mm-hmm.
and it was for like a full case, like a wholesale case.
Right.
Which is 12 boxes of 12 packs of 3 each.
Right.
So basically a shit ton of tasty cakes. When it when it sent back the error, I was like, oh, well, that's great because I don't need that many. And I found the Butterscotch Crimpet Lovers box. Uh-huh. And so I ordered it.
So are there different types of tasty cake then?
There are different
types. I guess I should say crimpets. There's different types of crimpets.
Yes. I believe there's three. There's there's the butterscotch crimpets, which I feel are the best. Mm-hmm. There is a jelly-filled one.
Oh, that would be good.
It would. It's a little messy.
Okay.
Because as it is, what you'll notice there is even though you think that you have all the butterscotch crimpet off of your fingers, your keyboard is still going to be a mess.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Now I'm frantically rubbing my fingers.
You will want to wash your
on my pants. Yeah.
Normally I like to have some wet naps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because that really, cleans up well. But
you know what you do is you just tape a little aluminum foil package of wet naps to each individual package of crimpet.
Oh man, that would be smart. Yeah. And a lot of work.
Yeah.
little
overboard there, Aaron.
It seems like if you were doing that, it would end up cleaning day. Where you're focused and you're all three rooms of the place are just gonna get a mat.
Everything's becoming spotless.
And you start off well, and then you find that comic book that you hadn't seen for years, and you get all distracted and start reading that. And then you put a few more things away, and then you get distracted by that mixtape you found that was made for you 4 years ago.
Right, right.
Putting a bunch of wet naps attached to the packets of tasty cakes seems like that in the way that, once you've applied two, you just start eating them.
Uh-huh.
And then next, you're too sick to apply anymore.
That's kind of how it goes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yesterday I found the tasty cake limit in how many you can eat one day.
Okay.
Or one sitting.
How far did you make it?
Nine.
Nine packages?
Individual. Right, for those listening at home, a packet of Tasty Cake Butterscotch Crimpets is a packet of three.
Right, right. And they're about the size, maybe a little bit smaller than a Twinkie.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely shorter in height.
But this is great. I think what I'm going to do, too, because these are not sold out here on the West Coast.
They are not sold.
For the listeners that are out on the East Coast, you probably know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And you're probably already a fan. And so these are made in Philadelphia. Mm,
they probably already take them for granted.
Yeah, they take them for granted over there. But you know what? We take rain for granted over here.
It's true.
Yeah. Which is... Man, red beer, tasty cakes. Oh, God.
And so digestion. Food, glorious.
Yeah,
food.
Did you bring some Pepto-Bismol with you, too, today, Chaz? Holy crap, man. Okay, well, hey, let's kind of delve into these shows that you have done.
Okay.
Let's find out more about Chaz.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you want to know?
Well, so we just you just had the last Get Loaded show.
Yes.
Right, at the Rebar last Friday.
3 years in the making.
That is really amazing that you guys had that going on for so long.
Yeah. It was a lot of work. It was kind of amazing to me towards the end that we had lasted quite that so long. I mean, you saw it was a pretty epic.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge production. Yeah. You got a lot of people involved, a lot of acting going on. Mm-hmm. You have,
video stuff.
Video stuff going on, dancing, music. Comedy, burlesque. Mm-hmm. You even do, some baking.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a bake sale there. A lot of production went into these shows. So why don't you explain to us what Get Loaded was for the people who...
There are a couple different descriptions of it. Mm-hmm. What Get Loaded was a little different for the performers than it was for the audience. It was, this kind of a mesh of old school, like vaudeville sort of elements with like theater, mm-hmm. and cabaret thrown
right,
in.
Right.
And then like it was all like built around like drinking games and whatnot.
Right.
And it was set up to be sort of this is what a night out is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would go out to like five or six different places. You would start the night off, you know, with like a little food, with like a little like a drink that you're trying for the first time or something. A little toast with some friends.
Right.
You see a band. It's awesome. You like then like go and see like some other show, you know, burlesque show or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You like meet that hot other, you know, and kind of like spark up a relationship with them. Move on to like, you know, sort of the more what's the right term here? The more aggressive aspects of the drinking night, where okay. like you kind of start to get in those weird like physical confrontations, like,
right.
Like that one friend who is like trashed, like I can arm wrestle any bitch in the house, you know, and he starts like trying to arm wrestle every woman there.
You know who like, we're talking about,
Matthew Brennan. So,
but it was all kind of centered around like this is the show that you guys were putting on for the audience was centered around like the one that I went to was put on as kind of like a 50s television show.
Right. As the show kind of developed, right. We started entering. Started really pushing sort of story arcs. To kind of immerse the audience in this universe
right.
more.
Right.
The first story arc that we did, we started really simple. We did a nine month story arc where the prize girl got pregnant, and we uh-huh. like totally developed her pregnancy over the course of the 9 months. She was still drinking and smoking. Every show, her belly got bigger and bigger.
Right,
and then at the end of this nine months, she gave birth to this monster baby, this like 250 pound like monster.
So wait a minute, did this take place on the final show? On
no, huh? This oh, okay. this was in 2008.
Oh, okay.
This was our first arc.
Yeah.
And then from there. We decided to kick it up a notch.
Uh-huh.
So from there, we spent 9 months in the post-apocalyptic future.
Oh, really?
Where we built the show as this kind of traveling road show that would celebrate the like the nectar of the gods in this world that had been destroyed by fire.
Uh-huh.
And the waters were poisoned, and the land was dry, and the world was really disconnected. It was like uh-huh. 35 uh-huh. years after the
BP oil spill.
That yeah, it was 35 years after the man with the smoky hat fell, and his son. Charlie Death started traveling around
uh-huh.
and spreading death to and destruction
wow.
to all of those he touched.
Sounds so a little bit intense there, bro.
It seemed intense, but we were the flip side. We were the like joy, you know, uh-huh. like reconnecting communities and like bringing back hope and like sharing uh-huh. the like joy in life and like trying to reestablish that we are all connected and life can and will go on and be get anew.
Right,
each character in the show kind of developed more as like Jax and Lo became more of like a like minister, like a
right.
like
Jax and Lo was your character.
Right.
Right.
like a fire and brimstone minister, the son of hope, was this kind of like shaman, this wise sage sort of person.
Yeah.
And we had the tale teller and the erotic temptress, the collector of histories, the creator of champions, etc., etc.
Cool.
So that all ended with a massive like 35 person gunfight in the middle of the bar. because the king of Texas, Lyndon Herbert Walker Ewing III, was trying to take over the Northwest Territories.
Wow.
This was really crazy, well thought out. We worked with a professor at a Brigham Young University to like work out our scenarios.
Really?
Actually how this would all play out.
Uh-huh.
And mind you, this was still all a drinking game
and
a carnival of mischief, but still with these underlying tones.
Yeah.
So
on all around the audience too. So right. it was much like you were, you know, the audience was very involved with all your shows.
Oh yeah.
This it makes me sad that it's ending. Or it ended. Yeah, yeah. Because I get, you know, I only saw, I think, one or two shows.
Yeah, once we had started our third run, which was the Golden Age run.
Right, yeah, the Golden Age of television. And I didn't realize that it was this ongoing story that you had for each of these, things. And how long would these stories last? Like, are we talking, you know, because you guys did what, like two shows a month or one show a month?
One show a month.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's a long time to keep that going.
It is.
Yeah. Started in 2007.
I started putting the concept together in May of 2007.
Uh-huh.
The first show was August of 2007. And then it just kind of like snowballed from there. The first apocalyptic run was September 2008. The first Golden Age show was October of 2009.
Okay. Wow. That's pretty cool. And so, and I noticed the times that I saw the show, I noticed some characters that we saw in another show that you used to do that you had your hands in.
That I had my tendrils in.
Yeah. Seattle Semi-Pro Wrestling.
Seattle Semi-Pro Wrestling.
Oh, my God. What a fun show, man.
Nice. Had you made it out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nice. And this was before we met.
Oh, okay.
Like, I didn't. And then we met at that party, and I was like, oh, my God, that's the guy. That's the guy at Kathy's house.
Right.
And so I was immediately like, oh, yeah, we should totally have a bromance.
But so the bromance began.
Yeah, and the candle was lit at both ends. And so time was set. Or whatever. I don't even know. But Seattle Semi-Pro Wrestling, why don't you explain that a little bit? Because, oh, God, for people who don't know what that show was or never had a chance to go to that show, holy shit, you guys missed out.
Well, it's kind of still going.
Is it? Oh. Yeah. That's great news. That's great news. Are you still involved with that?
No, I'm let me give the background on the show and what I did.
Right. Yeah, go for it.
So the show itself was kind of an adult cartoon show based around the ridiculous world of professional wrestling that took place in various venues, most notably at Rebar for a good 3 years was there. And my role in it was as the MC, the man with the golden mic, Jackson Lowe.
Right.
And kind of like hype man, color commentator, et cetera, et cetera.
Didn't you have a cane, too?
I did not have a cane.
You didn't have a cane? Did you have like a – was the microphone on a big cane-like pole
Jackson
or something?
Lowe's only affectations were the sunglasses and the golden mic.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I thought, where did I get that? Okay. Well, never mind. Let's keep going here.
All right.
I'm fucking it up here.
The beginning of 2009-ish, one of the quote unquote wrestlers, was like mad about why he was about the way his character was handled. So he called the Washington State Athletic Commission and was like, "Hey, these guys are doing unsanctioned wrestling events.
You're kidding.
You need to shut him down. I'm totally serious," which is ridiculous.
This wasn't Ronald McFondle.
No,
it?
Huh? Okay. This dude.
You don't have to say
this
name
dude.
Who?
Oh no. Oh no. It's fine. This guy has gotten so many hate emails. I'm sure you can get him more. All of a sudden, I can't remember his name, which is hilarious. But he played the original Banana. He just didn't want to lose, you know. It's like it's wrestling. You got to lose, like
right. Everybody has to lose,
and like in the development of any good story, you know, a hero has got to lose so he can come back from adversity and triumph.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't want to lose, so he called the government and had the government send officers and licensees come down and like gauge the athletic competitiveness of
but it wasn't really real though, was it? I mean, staged.
There was a degree of physical
right
assertiveness,
but the outcome was always predetermined.
Yeah, I mean it's wrestling.
Yeah,
you know, or as we started to call it, live action combat theater.
Yeah, yeah, and it was that. You guys did a great job of, you know, all these shows that you guys did together. You guys did a great job of getting the audience engaged.
Oh yeah,
like what I was saying before.
Beer cans.
Oh, the beer cans. You could. This people, you gotta. The next time you see a Seattle semi-pro wrestling thing come up in the Stranger and the Weekly or something like that, you gotta go see one of these shows.
But they can't throw the beer cans anymore.
You can't throw the beer cans at the wrestlers anymore.
This was one of the the regulators that came out was from the Liquor Control Board. Apparently, not only do they own the alcohol and the containers which the alcohol are sold in,
right?
But once the alcohol is consumed and paid for, they still own the containers then. So you can't throw, by law, apparently, in Washington State, you cannot throw beer cans at performers.
Oh my god! Even if that's part of the show,
So, it's like once that happened, to kind of compensate for it, SSP started bringing these big bags of fun balls, you know that are in like the like ball tanks you would go into
right.
Like, kid a chug,
cheese. Which are now, I gotta say something about those fun balls. Now, whenever I see one of those pits, I'm always like, you know what? I kind of seem to remember those things always smelling a bit like urine.
That's because kids always did pee in
them. Yeah, yeah.
But now SSP like brings big bags of those
balls.
Shows.
Yeah.
The beginning of the show, it's like an audience. I don't know if you know, but SSP has got balls. And like threw them out. So the audience, instead of throwing their beer cans, could throw
those balls.
Ball. So
that's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. So what are you on to now? Since the show's over, Get Loaded is now finished.
Get Loaded's done. I had left SSP in the middle of the Get Loaded run because there's a lot of work.
Right.
Now I am officially Jackson Lowe is completely retired. I put the character away.
Right.
After, you know, a good seven, eight years of using him. Well, actually, a good 10 years of using him. Because like SSP wasn't the first,
right?
Yeah,
there were more. There were more before that.
There was the Ballard Wrestling Federation. There was the Jackson Logong show. There was a lot more. So now Jackson Lowe is officially put to a rest. I sent him out to pasture. I'll be giving my golden mic away soon.
Really?
Passing on the torch in my mind. I don't know if the person that I'm planning on giving it to will think of it as such.
Yeah, yeah. But, he'll just be like, oh, cool. That's kind of cool.
That's good. That's nice. But to me, it's big. But and for now, I just kind of want to make videos and graphics and watch TV.
Watch TV. I love that shit.
I'm really excited.
I love that shit.
Well, see, Aaron, like not only was I doing all these shows, but I was also pardon me, I'll spit it out in a minute. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I have a bit of a stutter.
I don't know if you want to talk about this, because every interview that you've ever done in your life, everybody brings up your stutter.
Right.
But just as a little disclaimer, when Chaz Roberts turns into Jackson Lowe, not only is he acting out this part, but your stutter is almost gone.
Pretty much gone.
Yeah. Which is weird.
It just leaves a bit of the elongation.
Right.
But
right.
And like a lot of people think it's just like, oh wow, he has an interesting cadence. But no, it's just a stutter, and I think it has something to do with the interchange between the left and right side of the brain.
Right.
I have some connections that are kind of misfiring. So you know, it just doesn't go as fast.
Right. Right.
But
I think it's probably the coolest fucking stutter I've ever heard in my life, though. Seriously.
Funny you should mention that. I had actually gotten a lot of like, wow, that's a really unique stutter.
Uh-huh.
And then Chris Jagger, the drummer for Madrasso, has the exact same stutter.
Oh, he does? Yeah. No kidding.
So we became super BFF. Because of that same stutter.
Yeah. So wait a minute. Are you telling me that our little bromance here is not going to work out? Because you have a bromance with the drummer from Madrasso?
All punk rock fat people are polyamorous. I don't know if you knew that. And we all like Slipknot a lot.
And you all like Slipknot and Nickelback. And you love that show on HBO called Big Love.
Big Love.
Yeah.
About that big love. So at the same time doing these shows, I was also booking at a Rebar, doing all of that and trying to maintain my freelance work as a motion and graphics designer and a graphic designer. So I put in my notice at the bar and made the last get load my last day working there as well.
Cool.
So now I'm really looking forward to the day when I want to go out
and
do stuff again.
Yeah.
Because, man, I hate performers. I hate performers.
I can only imagine.
Oh, the sense of entitlement that comes from performers is ridiculous. Now, I'm not going to name any names.
Please don't.
Man, I fucking hate performers.
Yeah. I can totally understand that.
Before I came into a day, I had a great time deleting performers from my Facebook friends list. It's like, I don't need you anymore. I don't need you anymore. Which is like kind of mean, but it's like, well, we never had a real relationship.
Yeah, there was no, it was more of a working relationship.
Yeah, yeah, really. It was all based around like, we did a show together six years ago.
Right.
Or like, you want to do a show where I work or whatever.
So you're kissing my ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Or and then when I give you the show, then you're a total dick.
Yeah,
yeah. And you don't show up on time.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
So now you've got. Yeah, I deleted them. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was a great morning.
Well, I'm very happy for you.
Thanks.
I'm very, very happy for you.
I am also.
It sounds like things are going well. So now you have a new venture.
Yeah.
Right? With the video design.
Yep.
It's called Chaz Cuts.
ChazCuts.com. I do of course graphic design, motion graphics, and video editing. The emphasis is on the motion graphics. Getting a lot of awesome work now.
Awesome. So people are employing you.
They are, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting. Doing posters.
Is this something that you've kind of always wanted to do?
It's kind of something that was always there, like growing up playing in like rock and roll bands, like, hey, you've got a video camera, let's make something. And,
right.
You know, hey, I'll take care of the posters and, you know, got like in the album art and all that. And oh man, this is rad. This is fun. But like the focus was being a performer first and foremost. And as I got older, it was like, man, I really do need that plan B. I really do need that backup plan. So in 2003, I went back to school for video.
Oh, great.
And and it just,
yeah,
it was kind of like, that day where you actually understand that wait, so if I take this yellow paint and this blue paint, it makes green paint. I get it now. It makes sense. Like, it was that. It was awesome.
And
I just got it.
That's awesome. That's great. And so you actually have, like, a normal 9-to-5 job now?
First time in my life.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
With kind of a graphic design company. And you've got your own thing going on here, chazcuts.com. Mm-hmm. I would urge any of you to, if you have a band or if you have something to promote, right? You make posters and things of that nature.
Posters, simple sites.
Do promotional
videos, music videos.
Oh, cool.
Of course, the emphasis is on like flashy and like slick.
Right.
I don't want to make, you know, just like a, you know, hey, I got, you know, a bunch of film stock in an 8mm. Let's just shoot you like hanging out in the bathroom eating pudding. Like, I don't want to do that shit.
Yeah, because I do that on my own. Okay?
Right.
I do that on my own time.
Right. And I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to edit any more porn. So don't ask.
What?
Oh,
you done that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. One of my main clients, last, kind of the year before last, was a pornographer.
Really?
And I edited all of his porn. I edited all the teasers and the trailers and the DVD authoring and the DVD design for 12 titles that most of which were nominated for AVN awards.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Huh? That's weird.
It's totally weird. it was a little surreal, and I started to like not like sex very much.
So is it like, I mean, this was like nasty porn, or was it just kind of your run of the mill kind of,
you know, it wasn't like furry
stick it here
stuff.
Stick it, it here stick like, it here and then
right it was it, there. It was like definitely it was definitely gonzo but
gonzo, yeah. What do you mean by gonzo?
Like not actually plots, you know, just kind of like the scene starts with like them fucking and just,
I think I look like a whore.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
A whore. Yeah.
And ends when, you know, the like money shot is done and she smeared the cum all over herself.
Oh.
Which is a little graphic, but I don't think I'm going to be sending this link to my mom.
Right? Crank up the heat!
We're going to get this place hot and clammy. Just like the boss like it.
Nice. Yeah, I wouldn't send this to your mom.
Yeah, no. She doesn't know about all that. And she's Mormon, so I don't want to ruin her view of me. But with the war and all.
Yeah.
You know, times,
the way the economy is. I mean, yeah. Tough. You just use that as an excuse and she'll understand.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I doubt it though.
Well, Chaz, I think that does it. You got to get going. Yeah. So this has been kind of an epic show here. 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Ooh,
down.
We yeah. did it.
God,
we,
going,
we,
going like
60 minute mark.
Fucking fire here.
We're like Ric Flair, the 60 minute man.
Ric
man.
Flair.
Woo.
So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's been an
me.
Excellent. You made an excellent episode 3 for us here at Air Raid. And best of luck to you in your venture with ChazCuts.com. So check that out, of course. And I think because it's such a beautiful day here in Seattle, the Emerald City, we're going to play a song by the Dismemberment Plan called The City. So make sure to tune in to the next show, episode 4. With Jeremy Kavner, who is a amateur film producer and maker.
We can't.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Nothing to do. The city's been dead since you've been gone.